The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
For the believer, it is safe to hear the same things over and over again, provided that what you are hearing is the right thing. As a minister, it is a safe thing to do. You should never find it bad to repeat the same things. I've said these things over and over again. And so that's why there are certain teachings you must have observed that every year, if you check all our message studies every year, I must teach on those things before the year ends. Things like what we are talking about today, walking in his plan. I have a teaching on recognizing divine leading. It's still along this line. I have a teaching on leadings and directions. Still along this line. Not fully, but along this line. Last year, we had a workers retreat in the night. I taught on following the divine plan. Or the divine plan, remember? It's still along this line. And today, I'm talking about it again. And next year, we'll still talk about it again. Teachings around about this, about prayer, about studying the word. These are teachings that we must listen to or teach from time to time. And so I'll be talking about walking in his plan. Hallelujah. How many of you want to walk in the plan of God for your life? Praise God. You must never outgrow it. Amen. Are you in church today? One of the ways to show that you're in church is that you do not become a spectator. Say, I'm not a spectator. I'm a participator. Say, I participate in what God is doing. I do not watch. I participate. Amen. You know, one of the ways to flow with the atmosphere of any meeting, any Christian meeting, is to be a participator. When they say lift your hands, you lift your hands. When they say shout, you shout. Amen. You should have shouted already. Amen. I said, when they say shout, you shout. Yeah. When they say shout, you shout. When they say rejoice, you rejoice. Glory to God. When they say sing, you sing. When they say lift your hands, you lift your hands. Amen. That's how we part of church. No matter what is happening, you must fully participate. When they say cry, you cry, of course. You may not hear that here, but whatever he said, you fully participate. And so walking in his plan. I like to, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Let's start with the King James. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Okay? Look at this. He said, who had saved us? Of course, he's talking about Jesus here. He said he has saved us and called us with what? An holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. And so, before I continue, God has a purpose. That's what you notice in this verse. He says our salvation, he saved us, he called us, it's all according to his own purpose. His purpose. And grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So, according to this verse, what is God's purpose? Look at it closely. I'm not going to answer it. I'm going to look at it. According to this verse, what is the purpose of God? To save us, right? Said God saving us is according to his purpose. Let's see like New Living Translation of this verse. Let's see New Living Translation. Of the verse, he said, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was what? His plan. So God has a plan, right? What is that plan? To save us. So the salvation of man is the plan of God. Praise God. He said, that was his plan from before the beginning of time. That's a very important statement. From before. And so it tells you that this plan of God was not and is not an afterthought. It's not like, I keep saying this all the time when I teach on this, it's not like man fell and then after man fell, heaven now held a meeting and said, what are we going to do? I know you know what I'm talking about. What are we going to do? I said, Jemichael, go for us. And Jemichael said, no, I'm not going to go. And Gabriel, go for us. He said, I'm not going to go. And after everything, I said, well, let's send Jesus. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible said that was his plan before the beginning of time. And so the salvation of man has always been God's plan. Are you still here this evening? So that was his plan, God's purpose, even before time began. I'm taking my time because we have 4 Thursdays. Okay? So wherever I stop, I'm going to stop there. Praise God. The plan of God from before time began is the salvation of man. Has always been salvation. Thank you. So the salvation of man is God's plan. Look at the next verse. Verse 11. Okay? Or verse 10 rather. Yeah. And now he has made all of this plain by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. And so when Jesus appeared, God made all this plain. What did he make plain? Huh? His plan. What was that plan? Salvation. Okay. And so, who created us? God. And that God that created us has had only one plan and purpose from time immemorial. What is that purpose? The salvation of man. So I always like that from this point to let you know that the plan and the purpose of God for everybody, first of all, primarily, is salvation. You see, God's plan for man, you know, people normally say, well, God has a purpose for your life. I say, what's that purpose? Say, maybe he's singing. I'll get to all of that. Because by next week or next 2 weeks, I'll start talking about your talents and where, how your talent relates to God's plan and what he has to be and all that. But you see, before we get all of that, you must know that the plan of God for your life is not different. It's not different. One of the ways I explain this all the time is that the only person that has the right to determine the purpose of any object is the maker of that object. The maker of that object. Okay? The people that made this phone or that made this stage, they are the ones that will tell us what they intended to do with the stage. As a matter of fact, you know, I was talking to one of my sons that is into all this building, construction, and all that. And he was telling me that the reason many buildings collapse is because most times they are used. Don't be scared. Nothing is collapsing. Amen. But then most times the buildings are not used for the purpose for which they were made. He was telling me that sometimes when a building is made, for instance, to serve as a church hall, that the constructor or maybe the architect rather will take into consideration the fact that they're going to bring in instruments into this hall. You get the point? They're going to be shouting. They're going to be jumping. Sometimes when this hall is a 50,000 capacity hall, he has to take into fact that sometimes this hall could sit above 50,000 and get to 70,000. So he has to put all that into consideration. Are you getting the point? And then have the foundation and all that. But then in our generation today, any hall can be used for anything. So it's telling me, for instance, if this is a residential area, a residential building, they look take all those into consideration. That's a trained architect. And so it is that trained architect that can now tell you, well, this building was planned by design. It was planned to be this or planned to be that. If you're still here, say amen. So that's the way it is. When God embarked on a project, the project he embarked on is man. Now, if you're going to find the purpose of that man, what do you have to do? You have to go to that God, the owner of the project. Are you following me? To ask him, what actually was your plan? What did you have in mind when you were creating man? And verse 9 of 2 Timothy tells us that his plan and his purpose was to save that man. Look at verse 9. Look at it again. Let's do it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Come on, come on. Everybody, this is a new year. Don't start like in 2020. Read very well. Come on. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time. So, what is the plan of God from the beginning of time? To save us. But then, NLT gives a hyphen. Now, what do you see next? To show us his grace through. So, the grace we received in Christ Jesus, which is the salvation of man is God's plan. And so, before you get out there and begin to teach men, I'm talking to professional speakers, about their purpose, they should know that any man that is not in Christ, that is not saved, is out of purpose already. I get to the point. Any man that is not in Christ has missed the purpose. Because the primary purpose of God for any human being is the salvation of that human being. Are you following me at all?
The salvation of man is the plan of God. The salvation of man. So God's purpose, or the maker's purpose, is that man be saved. In 2 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 9, he tells us that God is not willing that any should perish. Hallelujah. He's not willing. Look at that. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards what? Not willing that any should perish, but that what happened? All should come. So what is the will of God for every man? That every man should come to repentance. What God wants for every man, you say, well, that's the first thing. What's the next thing? That is it. The plan of God for your life, every other thing you might call purpose, as we'll still see, will find its footing on this. Hallelujah. So every man that is not saved is out of God's plan. Is out of God's purpose. He can be a successful footballer. You see why we say things like that football is not someone's purpose. Being a doctor or being a lawyer cannot be your purpose. Why? Because whether you are born again or not, you can be a lawyer. Are you following me? Whether you are saved or not, you can be a doctor. Whether you are saved or not, you can be a businessman. But then, you've not even fulfilled the first thing God wants you to do in this world. And that thing is to be saved. So when Jesus came to fulfill or to initiate the coming of Jesus. If I look at, go back to that 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. The coming of Jesus exposed the plan of God. Do I put it another way? It made it plain. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. For God's, verse 10 says, and now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus. So the coming of Jesus made the plan of God plain. Are you following me at all? The coming of Jesus made the plan of God plain. So should you live your life on earth as a successful doctor, a successful footballer, but then you never got saved, you never embraced the grace that is found in Christ Jesus, you lived your life out of purpose. Purpose is not what you think it is. It is what your maker said it is. Are you following me at all? Purpose is not what you think it is. As beautiful as philanthropy is, it can't be someone's purpose. It can't. It can't. I'm coming to all of that. It can't. Because you don't need to be saved to be a philanthropist. You don't. Anybody can be a philanthropist. That's why I'm going to sound some warning. There are a couple of persons, and this is a trend in our generation. If this applies to you, you need to take that correction. I don't know why I'm running ahead of myself, but let me just say this. I just felt very impressed in my spirit to say this. There are a couple of persons that have the genuine call of God upon their life. The Lord will have them work for him. But because they've been wrongly taught, they've started doing some things thinking that answering the call of God upon their life. Some things that are good. They have substituted the call of God for their life on their life for humanitarian services. Listen to me. Well, let me not say much about that. I'm coming back to this statement. Let me show you the next point. And so the plan of God for man is salvation. Salvation. Now, look at this. Let's continue with the scripture. He said, let's start from verse 9 again. He said, who has saved us, called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I don't know if I should explain this again. I've said it again. Salvation is not a reaction of God. It is God's eternal purpose. Salvation was not God's reaction. God did not react to the sin of man. No. Salvation is not a reaction to the sin of man. Okay? There are some teachings that we're going to do this year. You know, some of you that are following our Bible reading plan, there are some questions that came up in the group which I deliberately refused to attend to. And the reason is because some of these things, I'm going to be talking about them this year. One of those teachings, for instance, is the image of God. I'm going to do a series on God's image this year. Amen? And that will be very soon. But then you notice something, that in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, you find the Bible says, let us make man in our image. Hallelujah. Let us make man in our image. And a lot of people just hook onto that verse to say, everybody is made in God's image. Well, before we get there, Let me just tell you that that's not true. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. That's not true. Everybody's not made in God's image. But everybody can be in God's image. What happened in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26? I'm saying this to you, explain that statement that it was a plan before time began. What happened in Genesis 1 verse 26 was a declaration. If you don't understand this thing, just leave it. Just make sure you get that series. What happened in Genesis 1 26 was a declaration of God's intention. Let us make man in our image. And if you follow the language of the Bible, Colossians 1 verse 15 will tell us that Christ is the image of the invisible God. Amen? Are you following me at all? Praise God. Christ is the image. So it was a declaration of let us make man to be like Christ. Amen? The question will now be, did man walk in that image? When we get to that series, we'll answer it. Amen? But we already see the image of God clearly seen in Genesis 1. So Jesus, the image of God, has always been in the picture from time immemorial. It wasn't because Adam fell. Do you understand the point? That's why Revelation will tell you things like the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. So the death of Jesus was already a plan even before the world was created. But am I talking to PG people this evening at all? Hallelujah. Well, I know what. You're just thinking about how is all that possible? Praise God. So say, well, so God actually knew Adam was going to fall, and he now made Adam fall so that he can send Christ. You just calm down. When we get there, I'll answer all of that. Amen. Don't assume any nonsense in your brain. Hallelujah. So the image of God, we're going to teach on that this year. But you see, the Bible said that this was God's plan even before time began. So even before Adam fell, Jesus was already in the picture. The image of God was already in the picture. What I'm trying to say is this. When we get there, I'll explain it. But then, what I'm trying to say is, Adam had an option to accept salvation in Genesis 1, and Genesis 2, and Genesis 3. That is what the Bible calls the image of God. That is what the Bible calls the tree of life. Are you getting the point? That's what the Bible calls. But then, whether they accept it or not is a different case. If I say confused, leave it. Okay? Amen? I said leave it. Amen. Because I'm going to come to it and it's not what I can finish now. But you notice that actually before time began, God already planned his salvation. That has been his plan. It wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't like God woke up one day and said, man, let's just go and save people. What do you think? No. God's plan has always been that man will be saved. Let me put it another way. God's plan has always been that man will walk in his image. Do you understand it that way? So what did the coming of Christ do? The physical coming, the coming of Jesus to the world. What did he do? In verse 10. Look at verse 10. He says, and now he has made all of this plain by the appearing of. So Jesus came not to initiate the purpose of God, but to make it plain. Do you understand what I'm talking about? To make it plain. So it has always been his purpose. Jesus came to make that purpose plain. So I know the purpose of God. I know the plan of God. Say, I am in that plan. Say, I am in that plan. Hallelujah. I'm in the plan of God for my life. I don't know about you, but I'm in the plan of God for my life. Because I am saved. Glory to God. Do you have saved men in this house this evening? I'm saved in Christ Jesus. I am saved in Christ Jesus. I am saved in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he saved me. Now, let's continue. Now he has made all of this plain by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. What did Jesus do when he came? He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. Praise God. Now, verse 11. And God, Paul is now talking, chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. Which good news? Go back to verse 11. Which good news? You know, he said this good news. Paul didn't say he was a teacher of good news. He said he was a teacher of this very good news. What good news is that? The good news we've been describing. Salvation, right? The plan of God. The plan of God. So what was Paul's assignment? To preach, to teach the plan of God. Praise God. To teach, to preach. So what do we do in ministry? We walk up to men and we tell them the plan of God for their lives. Oh, come on. We tell them, God has a plan for you. What is that plan? God wants you saved. We don't go into ministry giving people different plans. God's plan for you is to be a doctor. God's plan for you is for you to be an engineer. And for you, the way your face is looking, you might be a tailor. Hallelujah. That's not what we do in ministry. We announce a common plan for all men. And Paul says that is what he has been chosen. Look at verse, go to, that's verse 11. Put up like the King James Version. Paul said, whereunto I am appointed a preacher. So Paul said he has been appointed a preacher to preach this very thing. Now verse 12 is where I'm going to stop. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So what did Paul say was his assignment on earth? To preach. To preach what? The plan of God. So first you are seeing that there's a plan of God for everybody. Paul is now further telling us that his own assignment is to preach that plan. So can I put it this way? The plan of God for your life is for you to be saved and to tell others of that plan. So in simple terms, the plan of God, first of all, for you is salvation and ministry. Yes, I see anybody's called to be a minister. I'm coming to that shortly. You see, in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, I want to show you what God wants for every one of us. Before you begin to ask God, what is my purpose? What's my purpose? What's my plan? You need to first of all find out your plan, first of all, is salvation. Second plan is what Paul said. Paul said, I'm appointed a preacher. Somebody who can argue and say, well, that's Paul. Paul was appointed a preacher. I am not Paul. But let us see. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, he says that for the love of Christ constrained us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. Did Jesus die for us? Paul is saying if Jesus died for us, what he means is that all of us also died with him. Now, verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So his plan is that as he has died for everybody he died for will now start living for him. You understand the point? So what is God's plan for me? He died for me that when I believe in him, I should live for him. I said again, he died for me that when I believe in him, I should live for him. In another way, he died for me that when I am saved, I should preach them salvation to others. So in simple terms, the plan of God for your life is for you to be saved and to save others. Are you following me at all? You must never, nobody should ever talk you out of these things. Nobody. Nobody. Now that brings me to what I said about some people that have gone into humanitarian services. Some people have the genuine call of God upon their lives, but they've substituted it for humanitarian service, doing free will. They think, well, I may not be preaching the word of God, but I'm sharing rice and sharing beans to people. That is not the call of God. That is not the plan of God. That is not the basic plan of God for your life. As beautiful as that may be, that is not God's purpose. Paul said he has been appointed to preach this good news, not to share this cup of rice, praise God, not to share this cup of beans, glory to God. He has not been appointed to teach people Photoshop. He has been appointed, all those things are beautiful. But I'm just going to tell you the role all those things have to play. Are you getting me? So that when the Lord, you know, people talk about Mother Teresa, you know, right? Mother Teresa with her orphanage home and all that. And that's a very beautiful vision. And if that is what you want to do with your life, that's a beautiful thing. But never forget that orphanage home is not the major thing. The major thing is that you bring salvation to those people. I don't get the point. You will learn when we get to talents and stuffs that everything that God asks you to do is a camouflage for the plan of God upon your life. It's a camouflage, is a way to achieve God's plan for your life. You know, when I gained admission into school, I preached the message in school. I tagged it admission, a divine camouflage. Praise God. A divine camouflage. And while I preached that message, I was explaining to them, and I said, if a drug dealer, I must have used this a couple of times in this church, if a drug dealer wants to bring some hard drugs into Nigeria, what he will not do is to get to the border and say, well, I'm here. They say, what are you here for? You say, well, I came with cocaine, codeine, tramadol. That's what I came. I came to bring it so that I can share to the youths and make some money. They will throw you out. Well, actually, that's what he wants to do. What is he going to do? He's going to come with some wristwatches and necklaces. I get the point. That's what I come here today. Say, well, I came with you. Say, where's the wristwatch? Look at it. Where's your shop? That's my shop over there. So, will he be selling the wristwatches? Yes, he will. But in reality, what is his passion? To distribute those hard drugs. That is what God does for me in giving us admission. He wants to change UNN. He wants to change a suit. But he knows he cannot go and drop you into a suit just like that. And so he gives you admission into a suit. You are there in a suit. Hallelujah. As a student, actually, you're going to read your books and get the best of results. But as a camouflage, the real deal is the plan of God for your life. The salvation of men. I get what I'm talking about. And if you begin to think like this, you will take your word for God. God wants to change a particular city. Then he makes you relocate to that city. What did you go to do? I got a job in that city. That's what everybody's seeing. But deep down in your heart, you are there for the plan of God. God has a plan for me, amen. That plan is the ministry of God to man. It's blessing man. You get a new job. You are there to work. You will do your work so well. You get the point? You'll be punctual. You will get paid. You will get rich. But you know that deep down in your heart, these men are my assignment in this place. And that's how we believe our things. I've said this over time. Any child of God in a foreign land is on a foreign mission. I get the point. That's how to think. And that's one of the ways to start the year. That God has a plan for me. That plan, the first part of that plan is that I be saved. The second part of that plan is that I save others. That's why sometimes I see people who go for service in strange lands, in other nations, other states rather, youth service and all that. And then they come back and all they returned with is certificate. You failed. You get the point? Are you getting me? If you've gone for service already, I'm sorry. This is not to condemn you. But if you are yet to go, you should put this in your plan. If you go and return just with a certificate, you failed. That's not why the Lord kept you there. I get the point. That is the plan of God for your life. Hallelujah. Say, God has a plan for me. So look at that. So he says that he died for all. How many did he die for? All. Because, you know, I've seen a lot of people who think that God wants us to do plenty things. That's not actually the truth. You know, this is not a call for everybody to abandon their work and come and become a full-time minister. No. That's not even going to happen. God is not going to call everybody to do full-time ministry. But God will have all of us do ministry. I get the point. Are you getting the point? It's why? Because when we preach ministry, some of you see it like, Pastor, somebody said to me, you know, I've said this in church for one day. People say it to me a lot. Somebody said, you have a special calling to make people do ministry. So I don't like coming around your ministry because it will make me start doing ministry. I've heard from a couple of persons. And it was a place I was seeing the other day. Somebody said, I don't want to join that. I like Pastor Henry. I like what he does, but I'm not going to join their church. He said, why? He said, he makes people too serious. Amen. And that's what people think. That just God just called you special to make people serious with the work of God. But that's not actually true. You need to realize that when we are talking about ministry, it is your primary assignment from God. That is what God created you for. Saying is, when God, this didn't happen, but I'm just painting a picture. When God was sitting down in heaven, molding you, I'm saying, if Angel Michael was passing and say, what are you making? He said, I'm making a lady. Say, who are you making? He said, I'm making Jennifer. Say, oh, is she going to be dark or fair at all? He said, well, she's going to be dark and fine. Praise God. Now, if Angel Michael had gone further to say, so what? Why are you making her? He said, what God was going to answer is, I'm making her that she will be saved and she will save others. Now, it will now be strange for that Jennifer to come to the world and say that her own plan and purpose is basketball.
Do you understand the point?
Praise God. I said, what's your plan? He said, I want to reach men with basketball. Because when I see how they bounce it, they can see how I bounce it and know how to bounce in the Lord. You know, you can as well say anything to justify every nonsense you do. Praise God. Now, am I against your career? I will come to your career in this service. Amen? I'm not against your career. But the primary thing God created you for, the plan of God for your life, is not two. It doesn't vary from person to person. It is definite. It is the salvation of men for you and through you. It is salvation for you and salvation through you. It's not amazing to know that God wants us to save others. And let me put it another way. It's not amazing to know that there is no other way man can be saved if not through men. No other way. No other way. It's not amazing to know that even angels cannot preach salvation to men and they get saved. Man is the only method God has to preach salvation or to reach the world. Man is God's only method. I'm going to use Peter and Cornelius for examples in teaching about this. Cornelius was a man who wanted God. He was serving God, but he was not saved. So God wanted him saved. God sent an angel to him. And you are going to think the angel will just go down and preach to him. The angel told him to send for Peter to come and preach. Because that angel is not in his job description. Cornelius. It was Peter that was going to do the job. I don't get the point. And so you find out that God's plan is that this man he created will bring more men into the kingdom. One of the things you will decide to do this year is that you walk in God's plan this year. That you walk in the plan of God this year. When we make calls and make calls for missions, evangelism, outreach, we are not just trying to make your life boring. We are trying to get you to do actually what you are created to do. And I just feel like sharing this with you and saying this to you. You know, I told you about the architects that when they want to build a house, they check the fact that this house is going to be a church. Remember I said that? Because it's going to be a church, you see, we're going to take into consideration the fact that music will play inside this hall. They will dance, they will jump, they will die a galio. And so it will affect the kind of foundation they use. Amen? It will affect the kind of materials they use. So that this building can carry what it was created for. Do you know God took all of that into consideration? He knew you were ordained for ministry. So he put the ability inside of you. So everybody born of God can do ministry. Why? When God was forming you, he took all that into consideration and formed you for that very purpose. So I'm formed for ministry. Oh, you didn't get, I am formed for ministry. You see, the way Paul will put it in Ephesians chapter 10, 2 verse 10 rather, he said we are created in Christ Jesus unto every good works. You know how that appears in the Greek? It appears like you are programmed in Christ. Just like you want to make a phone. You program this phone to do some things. Programming, you should understand that, right? You understand programming? Yeah, you program it to be able to do some things. In other words, it is natural for the phone to make calls. It is natural for it to receive calls and to make calls. That was what God did when he was creating you. He created you, programmed you, formed you, fashioned you to be able to do the good works as appointed you to do. So there is, I am formed for ministry. You don't get it. Ministry is what God created me for. It runs in my blood. And it's not just about me, it is you. That's why you notice that everybody that is born of God, once you begin to give a little yielding to the things of the Spirit, things begin to work. It begins to work. Little yielding. Because that's what you actually created for. I didn't get the point. You once begin to yield. Because actually when you were created, you were created for that purpose. So God took into consideration that you're going to preach the gospel. You're going to get men saved. And so he took all of that into consideration. And I feel like saying this. I'm running ahead of myself already. This is not for today. But I feel like saying this to you. It doesn't matter your deformity and what you cannot do. Maybe you feel you cannot talk well, or you cannot speak English well, or you cannot talk well. You have some deformities. God took ministry, took all those into consideration, and still said you are formed for ministry. So whatever you think is your deformity, God still thinks you are fit for ministry. Are you getting me this evening? You see, this is why when he met Moses and told Moses, well, I've called you to do whatever. Moses said, I am a stammerer. What did he say? He said, say not. Hallelujah. Don't say, because I saw you with a stammerer when I put the call on you. I get the point. I saw. Jeremiah said, I'm a child. He said, say not, I am a child. I saw you a child when I put the thing on you. Say not, I'm a lady. I follow him at all. Say not, I can't talk well. I can't talk before people. Some of you that are pastors today will bear witness that there was a time you couldn't talk before people. You know, when I tell people I'm a shy person, they don't believe it. How many of you know this? They don't believe it. Say, you shy. Well, when God formed you, whatever thing you think is a deformity you have, God saw all of that and still said you are fit for ministry. I don't know about you. If God thinks I am fit, I am fit. Oh, you're not my audience this evening. I say, if God thinks I am fit, I am fit. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 will tell us that he has made us able ministers. Able means qualified. Qualified. So God thinks I'm qualified for ministry. God thinks I'm qualified. See, who had also made us able ministers? Let's see, like, New Living Translation of this verse. He says, he has enabled us with ministers to ministry covenant. So there is an enabling in my heart. I'm enabled. God thinks I'm able to do it. And so I am able to do it. Amen. God thinks I'm able. That's the plan of God for my life. So are you saying all your church members should quit their job and become full-time ministers? Can I say this to you? If that happens, I'll be excited. But that's not what I want. That's not what I'm saying. But people think if that happens, I'll feel bad. I'll be very excited. It means you are doing well. You know, you must realize that church is a place that is supposed to make you a minister. And that's one thing that must settle in your head. Church is supposed to make you a minister. If you go to church, it doesn't make you a minister. Then you are not learning well, or the church is not doing well. You say, why should I be a minister? When you attend medical school, it should make a doctor out of you. College of Medicine should make a doctor out of you. Law school should make a lawyer out of you. And so if you don't want to do ministry, stop going to church. Church should make ministry out of you. Are you guys what I'm talking about? I don't mind telling people, be careful whenever you want to choose the church. Make sure that church has the capacity to produce ministry out of you. So I don't want all this ministry. Stop going to church. I'm telling you the truth. Because if you go to church long enough, it's going to make you a minister. Because that is the plan of God for your life. Praise God. Praise God. You know, it's painful today that we have churches where money is celebrated. Where people get the front rows in church by how much they give. I'm not against giving. Giving is part of our ministry too. I hope you know that. Yeah. Because you cannot love God and not give. Giving is part of our ministry too. But you see people that are not involved in church, all they do is to bring money and then we celebrate them, we give them front rows, we do a lot of things to them. That's nonsense. What should bring celebration of any person in church is ministry. And I was telling one guy about our church. I told him, I said, some of you think, some guys think they can just walk into church and because they think they have money or they look fine and they see a lot of young girls that are single, they feel they can just flash money around them and they will agree. I told him not in our church. He said, how are you sure? I'll get some girls. I said, well, you might get some girls, but those girls you will get are obviously not committed members of our church. He said, any committed member of Platform of Grace, you can't flash money and get a person. Money, I'm not saying they don't like money. Okay? Because they do. I said, I'm not saying they don't like money. But what I am saying is that you first of all have to offer substance in our tongues, first of all. In our tongues first. Can you interpret Bible? Do we pray for 1 hour and you sit down behaving like peacock? You say you can't do that and come and get, because here we celebrate ministry. And it will be like that till eternity. We celebrate ministry. We celebrate commitment. We celebrate passion. We celebrate how well you are involved in winning the lost. How well you are doing ministry and fulfilling God's plan. That's what we celebrate here. This is why we now see all of that. We now look at your car and say, well, the guy is good, sha. Praise God. But if you think, I was telling him, if you think you're just going to flash, say, bet me, I'll get some people. I say, well, it's not impossible. But I tell you what, they're not. You can meet people that just came around in church. Well, see, people that are actually growing here. Because the first thing a church must celebrate is ministry. That's the plan of God for every believer. Ministry. That's God's plan for you. And so whatever thing you think you're not doing right, or you are not qualified for, God thinks you are fit for it. And he created you for it.
He formed you for it. He fashioned you for it. And so you must begin to think ministry in your head. Somebody once asked me, said, when you have children, are all your children going to be pastors? I said, well, I don't know. But all I'm going to make sure of is that no matter what they become, soldiers, doctors, whatever, they must have ministry in their skull, in their head. Because that's their primary calling. I will first of all make them ministers before they pursue whatever they want to pursue in their life. What I will not do is to force them to come and pastor. I didn't get the point. But what I will do is to make sure that they are thinking ministry life. Because actually, that is the primary thing that God would have them do. If I give birth to children, if I have people around me, and I'm catering for them, and they never received salvation, neither did they preach it. You see, I've raised people who have lived their lives and died, and they never walked into the plan of God for their life. Are you following me? And so you must know that God's plan for men and for you is to be saved and to save others. Say it like you know it. I'm a minister. Say, this is God's plan for me. Say, I am a minister. This is God's plan for me. In 2021, I will do ministry, for this is God's plan for my life. So I'm saying, first of all, salvation is God's plan for your life. Secondly, ministry, that is heralding that same salvation, is God's plan for your life. But then, what we'll start talking about from next week, which I will just open up today a little, is the fact that in our daily dealings with God, for instance, there are a couple of other things that God is in our daily dealings, in our everyday life, there is still need to find God's plan, okay, in our other sectors. What I'm saying is this. Salvation is God's plan for you. Ministry is God's plan for you. That is definite, right? But then, in your studies, God has a plan for you. Are you following me at all? Yeah. I'm going to say this a lot this year and collect everything back to ministry and all. In your studies, God has a plan for you. In your career, God has a plan for you. I didn't get a point. God has a plan for you. One of the things you must never be as a believer is a believer who just thinks that you can just wake up and make up your mind and just do anything. And I'm going to sound this as a note of warning for many of you. It's amazing how people just decide, say, well, today I'm going to move out of this city. And they just move. Say, why? I just feel like moving. Don't be like that. God has a plan for you. I did a teaching before the lockdown last year on divine geography and timing. You remember? I tell you that God has a plan for you. God has a plan for my life. So salvation is his plan. Ministry is his plan. But you find that even in that ministry, God has specific things he will have you do in that same ministry. For instance, God might say, I've called you to ministry. It doesn't mean he has called all of us to become pastors. So even in that ministry, there is still the plan of God for you there. I didn't get the point. And so even in your everyday life, there is the plan of God for you. Okay? You know, one of the things that we must celebrate and you must become is that person who wants to know what God's will is over everything. Are you following me? You must want to know what God's will is over every matter. This could be in life. This could be ministry. This could be in location. Location. Hallelujah. Let me say this to you. The issue of location is an important thing. It's not just in ministry that it comes up. Like I teach our ministers that if the Lord says you're going to do a work, ask him where. But then it's not just in ministry that it should come up. It's everywhere and everything. Are you following me? When the Lord says, look, you must see where you are, because where you are at time will determine a lot of things. But many of you don't know that. You say, well, what will it affect? I'm coming to all of that shortly. Now, following God's plan for your life and finding God's plan daily, working in his plan, okay, as a minister and all that, and as a believer, one of the things that it brings is fulfillment. Fulfillment. No, there is this joy in knowing that you are doing the will of God. There is this joy in knowing that you are in the plan of God for your life. There is this fulfillment it brings. Everything may not be rosy, but you are comfortable. I get the point. Everything may not be rosy, but you are comfortable. Everything may not be smooth, but you are comfortable. Because the Lord said I should be here. The Lord said I should do this. There is this knowing that this is what God wants me to do. That's why some of you that are planning to get married, you better pray.
and just be so convinced beyond what any pastor says that God wants me to marry this man. While you are in the marriage, anything can be going anyhow, but you are just relaxed because God wants me to be here. So is that a plan of God for your life in marriage? There is. And does it mean there's a particular person that God has planned that you must marry this person? There is none. I'm saying that it's none, so that somebody will come and deceive you, say, well, I saw you in my dream, you are wearing white, and so because I saw you in my dream, I'm also going to call him. No, don't say that. That is none. As a matter of fact, the Bible permits that when a woman loses her husband, she can remarry if she wants to. That already tells that there is no particular human being that was ordained for that woman. Do you understand the point? Yeah. Now, normally jokingly tell people, what if the plan of God for your life in marriage has died? What if he lived a careless life and died? Hallelujah. Maybe that's why some of you have not found any boo till now. As I see booless, maybe your boo-to-be died some years ago. Praise God. So you became a widow in advance. Praise God, though. Jesus is good. There's nothing like that. Praise God. You can't be a widow in advance. You can't be a widower in advance. What I'm trying to say is there's a plan of God for your life in marriage, but you must understand what it is. It's not like God will pick a particular person and say it must be this person. No. What it means is that God can lead you. In fact, in the case of marriage, most times what God does is to show you who not to follow. There are people that you can meet. For anything, God already says it's not that person. Maybe, you may not even say it outrightly. Just that, I just feel somehow. Once you begin to feel somehow, stay away and find out what it is. Don't be stupid. There is a need to find and follow God's plan for your life by time. If the time permits us in this series, I'm going to give this leading of God in marriage a special day. Because you must find out the plan of God for your life and walk in it. It's one of the things that is going to help you. One of the things it brings is fulfillment. It makes you fulfilled. Even in ministry. I say this over time. We've not had the best of times, like rosy times per se, from the inception of this church. Have I ever thought of running away? Never. Have I ever complained? Never. Why? I am so sure that God wants me to do this. I was so sure. So I wasn't debating in my heart. One of the reasons why you must know what God wants to do and be assured of it, because life will test your will. How many of you know this? Life will test your will. Because I want to start business this year, I will start crypto, I will start forest. Life will test your will. There will be months of decline. It's not bad prophecy. It's just life. Do you understand the point? And so if you're not assured of the fact that God wants me to be here, you will chicken out immediately. Life will test your will. You see, in that marriage, life will test your will. In the business, life will test your will. That's why it's always good to find out and be assured of the fact that this is God's plan for my life over this matter. Are you following me at all? Over this matter. All of this I keep advising you guys to do. Even though it's not, many pastors don't say this, but I do. When you grow as a Christian and you get light and all that, be convinced in your heart that God wants you to be in this church. I get the point. Be convinced in your heart. If not, situations will test your will too. I didn't get the point. Let me not say that. Maybe I'll address that later. Situations will test your will. People are going to annoy you. The church may not do what you expect. And before you know, you say, well, I'm leaving. Such people never had any will, anything in their hearts at all. They were just following the crowd. It's good to know the plan of God for your life and know it and be diligent about it and stay there. It will offer you, first of all, fulfillment. It is a major blessing in following God's plan for your life. Things can be going here and there, but you're just fulfilled and satisfied in your heart. You're just relaxed. You might not be happy, but you are fulfilled. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, if you don't do God's plan for your life, you can live your life, be rich and all that. But you still find that sense of, some of you would bear witness that when you joined the church and started growing spiritually, it looked like there was a vacuum that was filled up. A sense of dissatisfaction that was in you.
I was filled up. I get the point.
Maybe nothing has changed in your life on the outside, but you just feel fulfilled and happy and relaxed and satisfied. Somehow it's like I found it.
I get the point.
And that in itself is enough to make me follow God's way for my life. So you must decide, I'm going to find the plan of God for my life. So I've said, number one, the plan of God for your life is salvation and the salvation of men. But then in our everyday life, there is still need, I will find what His plan is over our health, over our marriage, over our work, location, and all that. So let me just share one or two other things with you. Another blessing, for instance, you can find in following God of your life is seen in Genesis 26. I've thought on this a lot. I'm going to do it again. In Genesis 26 from verse 1. Let's look at the screen. I'm running down already. You should believe that because I'm traveling back now. Okay. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went into Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Okay. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. You know, I teach from this because it shows how the plan of God can be. There was famine somewhere. And God told Isaac, don't leave this place. Stay here. Naturally, things would have been wrong. God said, stay. The best place you can be is at the center of God's will for your life. I didn't get the point. One of my daughters came to me yesterday and was telling me, you know, say the Lord said, Daddy, I don't like what God is telling me. I don't like what God is telling me. I've planned my life, how it's going to be. God is trying to say, I say, what is it? Say the Lord said I should stay in Nsukka. So how can God say I should stay in Nsukka? I said, see, even me, I don't want to stay in Nsukka. Like even me as your pastor, he said, I've tried to ignore it. It has come to my spirit man. I've ignored it. It's not coming to my dreams. That in the dreams, it will be you, Daddy, that will be telling me, don't go anywhere. I say, it's not me. Because me, I want you to go. But actually, I told her something. I said, if the Lord says you should stay here, it means He has put everything you need here. Do you get the point? That's how I see it. He says, don't go down. Go not down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Okay? Astray. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee, unto thy seed, I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Okay? And Isaac dwelt in there. That place where there was famine, Isaac stayed there. Look at verse 12. Let's see the implication of that. Look at verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in when? The same year. The Bible was emphatic. It's not like the next day when the famine left. The same year when there was famine, he received a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. You see, there is blessing in divine geography. You hear the point? There is blessing in knowing God's plan and staying there. Look at verse 13. God blessed him that same year, not next year. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Because the Lord said, stay here. That is a place for finding God's plan for your life and walking in His plan. In verse 14, the Bible will tell us, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Hallelujah. They were in the same land with him. They could not become as great as he was. God has a plan for my life. I'm going to find it. I'm going to stay there. Some of you that are here to gain admission, don't just seek admission by whatever. If you have a lead in your heart to go for anything, and you settle, I'll still tell you, next week I'll start talking about how to find God's will, how to be settled in your heart that this is God's will. I'll come to that next week. When you settle in your heart that this is the will of God for you, go for it. Stay there. No matter how long it takes, stay there. It will pay. I told you guys, following God's will does not mean that everything will be rosy at first. But it means that there will always be a happy ending. Because with God, that is always a happy ending. Take it from me. Listen, Jesus followed the will of God for his life. It landed him on the cross. So the will of God for your life could land you on the cross. But it didn't leave him at the cross. He rose from the dead. He sat at the right hand of God. So it can take you through the fire. It will not leave you in the fire. Yeah, it won't. And so when you are so sure this is what God wants you to do, stay there. Stay there. God cannot. If you know, when I was teaching this last year, I told you must trust the character of God, that God is a good God. God, the God I know, cannot send me to a place and not keep what I need there. No. Hallelujah. Do you get the point? If you give a child, you know, Nkaku, right? That very smelly. It's not animal, it's a rat. A kind of rat. It's an Igbo proverb. You must give him water to wash your hands. God cannot send you to somewhere and not make any provision for you in that land. I get the point. Whatever God has laid your heart, stay there. Look at how the divine plan is. Sometimes you say, well, God is saying I should stay in Owerri. I don't know why I'm talking about location today. But it's not just about location. It's about every part of your life. God is saying I should stay in Owerri. Now, I am in Owerri, and it's not like I'm getting the same kinds of job people in where now? In any other place would have gotten. What if you just go to all those places? Do you know it's possible in that Owerri? I'm going to be very carnal about this. I'm practical. In that Owerri, your husband is there. In that Owerri, your church, the church God wants you to be, is there. In that Owerri, some business contacts are there. You get the point? In that Owerri, some future contacts you will need, that your kids will need in the next 30 years. And that's Owerri. I'm telling you the truth. But then if you now live to wherever, you can get a good job. You don't know what you missed out in the other place. I get what I'm saying. You know what you missed out. Some of you might not even, hey, listen, thank you, Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Some of you might not even know some things the Lord led you to do some years ago. You did it. You still don't know why God led you to do it. Don't worry. 20 years later, it might be a contact that you met 6 years ago that would lead your children through the fire in 20 years to come. You see, you can't be wiser than the wisdom of God. When the Lord leads you, you fall. You must be able to walk in his plan. Find that plan. Stay there. I've shown you song. I've shown you salvation. I've shown you ministry, for instance. Decide to walk in ministry. Because that's God's plan for my life. I'm going to walk in it. And every other time he leads, I'm going to follow. I'm going to follow. You know, I normally share this story. I got an opportunity to initiate a plan to travel abroad in my final year, to go study in the U.S. Something many of you would have jumped on. And I jumped on it too. I'm not that spiritual. I was excited. I normally tell God, please don't tempt me with good things. I will fall for it. You know? So I fell for it. So I was excited. Oh, the United States? And I just lost my dad just 2 years before that. So it was a great... You get the point? The burden will be little for my mom because it was looking like a scholarship stuff. You know, I got back. And I was excited. I told my mom, I showed them everything and what have you. And for me, I just went to pray. Thank God I'm saved. I didn't hear any voice. Do you know the amazing thing? After I got that in that day, I went to a fellowship. You know, on Sunday, I was telling you a fellowship I used to attend when I was in school. I go from school to the fellowship. So I went to that place. And the man of God was preaching. He said, there is someone here that wants to travel abroad. You are walking to go and study abroad. Your visa is ready. I said, glory. This is just me. God works in mysterious ways. And I got back. And I just settled to pray. I didn't get anything. You know that then God was not even reacting to the thing at all. I prayed. I said, Father, I will take your gospel. I will change the world. This thing was not connecting. So I killed it. Praise God. I killed it. 2 years after that, I was looking at another admission. I got two other admissions in some other schools. The same thing happened. I prayed. I killed it too. You see, till tomorrow, I am grateful to God for the school I went to. It's not because it was the best of schools, but I knew God showed me that school and said, this is it. Let me get a point. And if I didn't get there, I would not have met some of you here. As practical, as simple as that is, somebody will say, well, if you didn't meet them, God could use another person. Don't be like that. That's a carnal way to think. Do you understand the point? You do not realize the fact that there is a way God works. You see this thing I'm preaching to you and you're enjoying. There are some others that will come to share them with you. You will never sit down for 1 hour listening to them. It's not because they're not good preachers. It's because God sends people to people. You understand the point? It's as simple as that. So, for some reasons, God wanted me to be who I am. And I'm happy. Until tomorrow, I'm going to stay in God's plan for my life. On the last day of this train, of this teaching, I'm going to be sharing with you how to last in the plan of God for your life. How to stay there and last. It's not today you are here, tomorrow you are doing something else, tomorrow you are back. You can stay in God's will and stay there forever. I've been saying this for God knows how long. The best place to be is at the center of God's will for your life. Praise God. That's the best place to be. It's not where there is money. Because people don't realize that when you follow money, money can finish. And if you don't yet know this, don't worry, you are still living on earth. By the time you stay on earth for some time, you will see that it's not a spiritual principle. It's practical. You will see it with your eyes, even if you are no longer born again. Money gets exhausted. The richest of men can become poor. So you don't follow money. Praise God. Praise God. You don't follow money. You don't follow money. So you say, well, I got a job. I'm going to relocate. I'm going to do this. Make sure you've prayed and you are certain in your heart that is what God wants. Make sure you are certain. Okay? Make sure you are certain in your heart that this is what God wants. This is where He wants me to be. This is how He wants me to do this. This is what He wants me to do. That is geography. That is timing too. Make sure, I'll talk about all of that next week and next week. That is timing too. Make sure you are doing what He wants you to do, when He wants you to do it, how He wants you to do it. I get the point. You're doing what He wants you to do, when and how He wants you to do it. That's following God's plan. That's working in His plan. Staying there. Father, what will you have me do? Lord, what will you have me do? How would you have me do this? When would you have me do it? Hallelujah. If you say I should stay, I should stay. If you say I should stop, I will stop. I was listening to a man of God recently, and then they asked him a question. What is the secret to everything you have achieved? He said, God. He owns a very big university in this country. He said the day they got the license for the university, he said they were all rich. People were excited. They were rejoicing. He said he went into his room, hotel room, and locked his room and knelt down and said, Father, if this is not your will, I am still ready to tear this into pieces. He told God. So, Father, still tell me whether you want this. If it's not your will still, I'm still going to tear this into pieces and we'll start afresh or do some other thing. He said, until the Lord said, well, go ahead, I'm in this. Hallelujah. That is that passion to know that this is God's will, this is God's plan, and I want to walk in it, I want to stay in it and do it. Another example I'm going to give you, then we'll close, is the story of Elimelech. You know Elimelech, right? The story of Elimelech that married Naomi. He married Naomi. There was a farmer. It was the direct opposite of Isaac. There was a famine in the land in Ruth chapter 1. And Elimelech left with his family. They went for greener pasture. Hallelujah. The greener pasture is not always green over there. Thank you, Father. It's not always green over there. Abraham and Lot. Abraham said, choose. Anywhere you choose, I will choose the other one. Lot looked at the plain of Sodom and saw that it was fine. And he pointed and said, I want that one. I want it. He went there. In less than how many years, Sodom was destroyed. It still took Abraham, who was in God's plan, to save Lot. I get what I'm thinking about. It's not always as green as it looks. God knows better than you. Hallelujah. How many of you know God knows better than you? Say this year, I will trust the wisdom of God. I will trust the wisdom of God. I will. He said, don't go there or stay here. You see, so Ruth, Elimelech left, went with Naomi. And when they got there, they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Praise God. Mahlon and Chilion married two wives, Ruth and somebody say Naomi. Hey, God. Ruth and who? Yeah. You are following our 1 year Bible reading plan, right? Yeah, it comes a time in that study, you begin to see, is this thing in the Bible? We are getting there, praise God. So, this, praise God. So, Ruth and Orpah, and they both married to Mahlon and Chilion. You know, Elimelech died. Mahlon died, Chilion died, without having children. The man lost both his life and everything he ever lived for. Guess where Naomi went back to? Where they came from. Hallelujah. Sometimes some steps are not necessary yet until you've prayed about it. I'll get to that next week and next 2 weeks. You don't have the right perspective over any matter until you've prayed about it. No matter how it agrees in your head, you don't have the right perspective. I'll come to prayer and all that as we proceed in this series. Amen. But you must have that desire to know God's will, to follow it, to stay in His plan, and to walk in His plan. And today, we have seen that the major plan that God will have us to is to be saved and to minister the same salvation to men. So make a commitment this year, 2021. And I will do more with ministry than I did in the previous year. I will do more with ministry. I do this every year. I will have more men saved. I will reach more people than I reached in the previous year. I will stay more committed to the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ than I did in the previous year. For He died for all. So that all who He died for will begin to live for Him that died for them. And so in this year, I'm going to do more with ministry. I'm going to do more with reaching the lost. I'm going to do more with discipling men. What does God want done on earth? It's not hard to find. Saving men and raising them to save others. Hear it again? Saving men, raising them to save others. What God wants on earth is not too much. God does not want Buhari to resign. Nor does He want Buhuru to become governor. He doesn't want any of those things you think He wants. He wants men saved. Praise God. He wants men saved. He must be very careful with prophecies. That's why you see, prophecies can go, oh, thank you. Why am I talking about this? Well, that's okay. Prophecies can go in whatever ways you want. That's why people can just come and say, well, the Lord is saying, Buhari is going to die this year. He's going to resign this year. You might be disappointed. He won't die. He won't resign. That's not because God did not speak to you. Well, that's because everything that God says is subject to man. Man can change it. That's not the point. Do you know what I'm saying? You can say Buhari is going to die. God spoke to you. Then some men of God stand up on their seat and begin to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, Buhari is not going to die. He won't die. Because he said, why? God will respond to man. So you think God is interested in any particular thing on earth? He's just interested in people, somebody. Or maybe you think He wants man you to carry EPL. He's not interested in all those kind of things. You understand? What God is interested in is definite. The salvation of man. Praise God. The salvation of man. Praise God. I'm not going to look at you. God is interested in the salvation of man. Glory to God. Some of you wonder why I talk about man. Even if man you carry scope, I will still be talking about them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because their fans are too much in this church. And they intimidate every other person. So I will speak for you guys, okay? Praise God. I'm here. You can count on me. Praise God. Now, God is not interested in those many, very many things you think He's interested in. He wants men saved. He wants those men discipled to be able to save other men. So this year, as every other year, you must decide that this year I'm going to walk in God's divine plan for my life. I'll be found saving men and raising them to save others. Hallelujah. I'll be found saving men and raising them to save others. This is not just what I'm charging you to do. This is your life assignment. This is the plan of God. This is what God wants for you. If you wake God up, let me say this to you. If you want to try what I'm going to say, try it. Spend time praying. Go on a 3 days fast. After praying, Father, what would you have me do? It will arrive at this thing I'm saying. It always does. Have you noticed that you can never pray for God to tell you what to do and he will not mention ministry? Have you observed it? It's not possible because that is the exact thing he wants you to do. Even if you refuse to hear, it must come up. It must. Praise God. Because that's what he wants you to do. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. I've quoted it, verse 15 rather. I'm going to quote it again and then we close. Glory to God. And that he died, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Put up New Living Translation. New Living Translation of that verse 15. It says that he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Put up Amplified. Hallelujah. Amplified. Amplified. He says, and he died for us so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but though and for him who died and was raised for them. Say, I live for Jesus. You know, we're coming from a retreat right now and I'm going back there. When I finished teaching this afternoon, that was an old song that we do. I'm going to do that song, very old song. We're going to do that song this evening and make a commitment. Just do it like 2 times and I'll begin to pray. You know this song that says, I live for Jesus day after day. You know the song? I live for Jesus. Let come what may. The Holy
I will obey. I live for Jesus. Day after
Let's
day.
Say, I live for Jesus.
I live for Jesus.
Day after day.
Day after day.
I live for Jesus.
I live for Jesus.
The Holy Spirit,
the Holy Spirit,
I will obey,
I will obey, I live for Jesus.
Let's stand to our feet and take it together. I live for Jesus,
I live for Jesus,
day after day,
day.
For Jesus,
I live for Jesus.
Hey,
let come what
may. The Holy Spirit,
the Holy Spirit,
I will obey.
I will obey.
I live for Jesus.
I live for Jesus.
Day after day.
Day.
You've got to the song. Let's now sing on top of your voice. Sally for Jesus.
Sally
I want to hear you sing it. Day after day.
Day after day.
I live for Jesus.
Sally for Jesus.
Let come what may.
Let come what may.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
I will obey.
I will obey.
I live for Jesus.
I live for
Jesus.
Say,
one more time. Say, I live for Jesus.
I live for Jesus.
Day after day.
Day after day.
I live for Jesus. Let come what may.
Let come what may.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
I will obey.
I will obey.
I live for Jesus.
I live for Jesus.
Enani day. We did like 3 more times. Say, I live for Jesus.
I want to hear you sing it like you know it. Day after day, day
after day,
I live for Jesus.
I live for
sing it like you know what you're singing.
Jesus.
Let's come what may, let's come.
Come what may.
Oh, the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Spirit.
Oh, the Holy Spirit,
I will obey.
I live for Jesus.
I live for Jesus.
I live for Jesus.
Day.
Two more times. Say, I live for Jesus.
I live for Jesus.
Day after day.
Day after day.
Oh, I live for Jesus.
I live for Jesus.
Oh, let come what may.
Let come what may.
Hey, the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Spirit.
Hey, I will obey.
I
hey.
Will obey.
Shamani anana tula de pare tolo do bayadia.
I live for Jesus.
For the last time, lift your hands. Say, I live for Jesus.
I live for Jesus.
Anani anama tunania. I live for Jesus.
I live for Jesus.
Let's come what may.
Let's come what may.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
I will always obey.
I will obey.
I live for Jesus.
I live for Jesus.
Day after day. I'd like you to pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. It's a time to make some commitments. This is God's plan for me. This is God's plan for me. He died for all that all who live. We no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. And this is God's plan. So you can respond to this in whatever way you can. It's a call for a fresh commitment. You can respond to this in whatever way you can. It's a call to make fresh commitments to the reason for our existence. To the reason for our existence. To the reason we were created. To the reason he called us. To the reason he created us. To the reason he made us. It's a time to respond, to make fresh commitments. To the reason he created us. To the reason he saved us. To the reason he made us. We were not created to just become loafers on earth. We are created for a definite specific purpose. And we can decide to live for that purpose. That purpose is to live for Jesus. Every day, every time in the year, every second in the year. That purpose is to live for him. It's to live for him. Take 2 minutes and pray in the Holy Ghost. And make commitments. Make commitments. Ministry is what we are called for. It is what we are created for. It is what God has called us for. To save men and to see them discipled and grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason, God has called us. For this reason, he has called us. For this reason, he created us. For this reason, he formed us. Whoosh. We can make some commitments. We can take some steps. We can take some steps. Some of you are going to return back to school very soon. You can decide, I will change my school for Jesus. I will do ministry in my school. Some of you are getting back to your place of work. You're getting back to your city, to your street. You must decide, I am not just called to exist. I have an assignment. I have a responsibility. I have a call. Paul will say, necessity is laid upon me. Paul will say, woe is me if I preach not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all about assignment. And so you can pray. You can take time and make commitments. And I will live for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shabbalataya. Shabbalataya. Insulate karabatega. Jimatiga liberate kadia. Esulepa. Esulepa. This is my desire. This is my passion. Oh, if this is why he made me, this is now my passion too.
If this is why he created me, this is now my passion too. If this is the reason for my existence, it has remained that. If he thinks I can do it, it means I can do it. If he says I'm made for it, it means I am made for it. It means I am made for it. And so this year, it is to more passion, more commitment, more purpose, more purpose, more purpose, more purpose. Maybe you didn't do much of this last year for whatever reason, but it's another open year, another blank year for you to step in and save men and disciple men and see that they come to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.